Joe Bungay by H.G. Wells, dramatised in three parts by Nigel Gearing. Part 2.
Come.
You asked to see me, sir?
I did.
Ponderiva? George Ponderiva?
Ah, indeed. Shut the door, will you? A telegram addressed to you here. Care of College, Ponderivo. If you intend to continue here among us, try to use the place as something more than a postal office, right?
Will that be all, sir?
No, that will not be all. I am the college registrar, not the college porter. Better sit down. How old are you now, Ponderivo?
21, sir.
And this is the second year of your degree course here in engineering.
It is.
So, what went wrong?
Sir?
I have your file here in front of me. At school you consistently proved yourself an outstanding pupil, above all in chemistry and mathematics. And notwithstanding what many would recognise as severely adverse circumstances of domestic, family nature, you completed your indentures. You won a scholarship from the Pharmaceutical Society, but deciding not to continue with pharmaceuticals, you win another scholarship, this time in mechanics and metallurgy, here to us at University College. First year, splendid exam results, solid work in the lab. And then? Then what, Ponderivo?
Sir?
Will you tell me, if you can? Your practical work seems to stop dead. Your attendance becomes lamentable. As for your most recent examination marks, good grief, man. Why, in this last exam, there was even a girl got the better of you. So, what do you have to say for yourself?
Nothing, sir.
Nothing? Think, Ponderivo. What will become of you when your scholarship runs out? There's not any personal explanation, is there? Family or a woman? Have it your way. Ponderivo, you came up to London as a scholar. Do you seriously wish to leave it as a spoiler and a scoundrel?
Of course, if I'd had the nerve, I'd have told him the truth. I just want to marry you and let his damn degree go hang.
You shouldn't talk like that.
Why ever not? I love you, Mary, and I love you. It's all I ever think about.
Stop that! Mother and father might hear.
Then what if they did?
Well, besides, you shouldn't. It's not right. Not yet.
Well, Marion, all I need is a little capital and we could be married.
What's the good of talking like that? Marriage will mean more than a little money. My girlfriend Smithy, her brother got married. Well, you'd need $300 a year. And when are you ever going to earn that?
Oh, but Marion!
Oh, there you are.
Father, this is George. Oh. What I told you about? Mm-hmm. When I couldn't find my purse on the omnibus and he...
Indeed, George. I may call you George.
Oh, certainly, sir. How do you do?
Well, Mrs. Ramboat and me wanted to thank you for the kindness that you showed to our Marion in that matter of the bus fare. Well, that's why we invited you to tea.
I'm delighted to be here, sir.
Marion tells us she's bumped into you down at the Science Museum as well.
Well, to be truthful, scarcely bumped into, sir. I'd seen her in lunch hours
George,
and...
George,
well. Of course, there's a lot of this science about nowadays. But I sometimes wonder a bit what good it does, don't you? I mean, give me eat for me tomatoes allotment. I could do such a lot with it. But it's not the sort of thing you science fellas care about, I'm thinking.
Sir?
Well, tomatoes, eat.
Oh, I don't know about that, sir. It seems to me that science is not just for the here and now, it's the future as well. In fact, I'd say one of the most...
Well, I'll go and find the missus. See about that tea.
George. Did you have to wear a collar like that? Mother's so particular.
You still haven't answered me. I love you. I want to marry you. Don't you love me, Marion?
Well, I don't know. One has to be sensible. I like going about with you, George. Can't we keep on as we are? As for that tie...
Well, what's wrong with it?
Well, you tie your handkerchief... Oh, come here, money. There now. Isn't that... Oh, what's this?
Gosh, the telegram.
What telegram?
Care of Ponderevo Properties, indeed. What properties?
George, where are you? Come this address, double quick. Tono Bungay.
Tono what?
Tono Bungay.
What does that mean?
George, that you? Come in, boy, come in. If you just give me a minute while I finish this piece of business and... Now, Sydney, ain't it?
That's right, sir.
Well, tell me again what you're to do, Sydney.
I'm to walk up and down, up and down, up and down Farringdon Street, wearing this thing.
Well, put it on, old chap, put it on. What use a sandwich man when it's all sandwich and no man, eh?
And shouting the secret of vigour, Tono Bungay. The secret of vigour, Tono Bungay. The secret of vigour.
Yes, yes, I think you got it learned off all right. Well, what you waiting for?
Sir...
Oh, go to it, man. Take the message to the people. And, Sydney.
Yes, sir.
A little more vigour yourself, perhaps.
Yes, sir. The secret of vigour. Tono Bungay. The secret of vigour. Tono Bungay.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. You see that fella's hat? Fair treat. You don't see poverty like that in Wimblehurst. No chance. But then that's London for you, ain't it? The centre of civilization. The heart of the world. A whirlpool. A maelstrom whirls you up and whirls you down. And before I go any further, let me say, oh, how very nice to see you, dear boy. What do you think of these new premises?
Well, I'm impressed, but how did you ever afford...
There's no need to whisper it now, George. Shout it loud. Tono! Tono Bungay!
But, Uncle, what is Tono Bungay?
Ah, what is it not? You come through here. Come here and see. See the words, huh? Now, this here is the packing department. Fred and Eustace.
Fred. Morning, sir.
Morning, lads.
Morning, sir.
Now, good morning, Mr. Ponderevo.
Don't skip on that straw, boys. Thanks,
sir. Here you go, sir.
And this here is the arts department. Jane, actually. Them posters, labels on the bottle. That's her work. Everything all right, Janie?
Fine, thanks, Mr. P.
Splendid. Splendid. Now, through here is the typing pool. Effie. Hi, Mary. Just show my nephew George round.
Effie. Mary.
Morning, sir.
Morning.
And now, through here is the laboratory. The temporary laboratory. You understand? I'll just find my key. I have to lock it, of course. Industrial secrets and all, but you and me, scientist to scientist, eh, George? A privileged peek into the mysteries of creation. Well,
where's the laboratory?
This is it!
Just these old bottles and tubes and a tank of what? Coloured water?
Well, there is the odd special ingredient.
Oh, you mean that cheap brandy on a filter? Why, that's the noise. I thought I knew it. The dear old air pump from Wimbledon.
You got it in one. Remember this over here. I'm Susan's sewing machine.
Well, I'll be damned. Hmm? Well, how is Aunt Susan?
Exuberant. I never saw her so lucky. Oh, my, is she looking forward to seeing you again. Mm. I tell you what, let's turn these off a moment. So... What do you reckon? The air pump, sewing machine, put them together, and from the other side of that door, you get a very convincing laboratory sound, wouldn't you say? Oh,
very convincing indeed.
You see, I had the name, I had the notion, I just didn't yet have the product.
And now you do.
But read the copy, George.
Here. Beware all other advertised nostrums. You don't need drugs or medicine, simply a proper regimen to get you in tone. You need Tono Bungay. Yes, Uncle, but...
Now, try this one.
Are you bored with your business? Are you bored with your dinner? Are you bored with your wife? You need Tono Bungay.
Now this.
Never fear fog or any sort of weather. Tono Bungay will hold you together. Uncle, I can see what Tono Bungay pretends to be.
He pretends, George? Pretends?
But please, what is it?
Listen, what say I tell you over lunch, huh? The Schaefer's Hotel, perhaps?
So, Uncle, Tono Bungay, it's just another patent medicine, right?
Oh, no, just another about it, George. Believe me, this is big. And we're only at the beginning.
You mean today, Farringdon Street, tomorrow, the world?
Why not? Have a cigar?
No, thanks.
Yeah.
But is it... well, honest?
Oh, absolutely bona fide.
Then, well, splendid. Good Lord. Even to imagine you one day sitting in a place like this.
Did you see how they knew me at the door? Mm. Live place, George. I for the coming man. I'm afloat on the fierce flowing tide. The ocean's my home, and my bark is my bride.
Uncle, please, people are looking.
Oh, let them look!
Oh, but to get even this far, however did you find the capital?
Oh, this wholesale chemist, that temporarily embarrassed printer, promise a long credit here, share of profits there, and the old magazine and newspaper, played them off one against the other, didn't I?
Ah.
Now, I know by rights that business of your trust fund, I suppose I ought, well, in strict legality, to have put that straight first. But, it was a bold thing to do, George, and thank the heavens it's all come out right, as you can see for yourself. And I repeat, this is only the beginning. Once our advertisements start to appear regular, well, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Mark my words, if Tono Bungay don't become a household name. So now, this is where you come in, eh? What do you say?
I'm very happy for you, Uncle. Really, I am. For you and Aunt Susan.
George... That ain't what I wanted to hear. Nor your Aunt Susan, neither. Oh, we want you in on this. I need you. Fact is, I've always believed in you, and trust me, I know a bit of our character. You've got, well, a sort of, dismal grit. Bark your shins, rouse you, and you'll go. Oh, the way you put away that Latin at Wimblehurst, whoosh! Well, you sorted out my shelves and my stock keeping, whoosh. Then your science and all that, whoosh. Come in with me. You shan't have to write a single advertisement or piece of copy. That's my line. You, it's a developing and organising I need. I can offer you 300 a year straight off. Eh? What do you think?
So what did you say?
Well, I said I'd think about it. Look here, Marion. To get married, how much do we need?
What's the good of going over...
But would you marry on 300 a year?
That's £6 a week. One could manage on that easily. Mm. Smithy's brother... No. No, he only gets 250.
Will you marry me if I get 300 a year?
If.
Then it's a bargain. We shake hands on it.
Closing now!
Well?
Oh, this is silly.
Closing, ladies and gentlemen, please.
Do we or don't we?
If you insist. Then, Mummy, this means we're really...
Yes, Ming?
Engaged.
Yes.
Oh, Mummy, you'll have to wait years. What good can it do?
Hello, sir, if you would.
Hello, it's George.
Oh, Susan. Very lovely to see you again.
Shall I serve the tea now, ma'am?
Not till Mr. Ponderevo comes, Clary. That'll be all for now.
You're looking very jolly, Aunt.
Why, George, you're a man.
What did you expect?
Been in love yet? Well, all in good time. So, what do you think? It's a swell house, no?
Oh, indeed. Thank gosh you've even got a maid.
Well, he all says the business will stand it.
Neither do that or smash.
You are coming in. Oh, George, don't say you won't.
But Aunt Susan, do you quite understand? It's a quack medicine. It's trash.
Well, there's no law against selling quack medicine that I know of. It's our only chance. If it doesn't go, hark at him, silly old concertina. Don't sing that one, you old walrus. Sing I'm Afloat.
Hello, George. Come along at last, have you?
Oh, got some tea cake, have you? Had time to think it over.
Look here, Uncle. Did you really mean that when you said you'd pay me 300 a year?
That's nothing. The thing to freeze onto when the time comes is your tenth of the vendor's share.
Yeah, but listen, the 300, is that guaranteed or not?
If you really want it so much, I could practically pay you 300 here and now across this teapot. So, what's it to be?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. There where you were bottling and packing... Mm-hmm. You ought to cover the corks before labelling round the bottle.
George?
Huh? Why?
Well, because sometimes they'll make a mess of the cork jobber and then the label's wasted.
Yeah, but...
And here's another thing. Why, in the devil's name, do people continue to build these boxes for packing, put the stuff in, then nail on the lid after?
Oh, because they always have. How else do you do it?
Well, why not pack the bottles from the side, then nail up it quicker, fewer breakages? Why, Tono Bungay would practically pack itself. As for those poor girls you've hired, working without ventilation, you'll get twice the work out of them, if I'm...
You hear that, Aunt Susan? Whoosh! Whoosh! Welcome on board, George. Welcome on board.
Oh, and by the way, there's something else. I'm intending to get married.
George!
And about time, too.
What didn't you say to me, at least? Who is she? Tell me everything about her.
She's called Marion.
Oh, and is she beautiful?
I don't know. I think she might be the most beautiful person in the world.
Oh.
Well, this is splendid. Aunt Susan, we should waste no more time. Hold us a little dinner party to meet the lovely bride. What do you say? Next week, perhaps, George? After you settle in?
Now, George, you've seen the factory. Here's the terrain.
The what?
A battle lines, plan of attack. Come over here to the map.
Pink underlines for the orders, flags for the advertisements. It's filling up already. First the middle classes in London, then the outer suburbs, then the home counties. Conquest, province by province, like soldiers.
Shouldn't we have another look at the bottling first? It all seems so slow.
Well, perhaps we should. What did you have in mind?
Well, take a look at this. It's just a sketch at present, but here we have a tap and a concentrate of the mixture, no. Right? And here we line up the bottles on a glass incline made slippery with running water.
Splendid!
Now, this I'm really proud of. It's a level indicator, a kind of float arrangement.
I'm afloat on a fierce flowing tide.
Uncle, please.
Right, George, sorry. Far away.
Now, here's a second tap, this time with distilled water.
More old gravy, Marion.
Thank you.
That's right. Lash it on. Well, I can't say often enough how good it does me to see young Georgia so finely set up.
And to meet you, Marion.
Thank you.
So, you'll be looking for somewhere to live, I suppose.
Yes, we...
That's the spirit. And by the way, don't worry about money when you do. We'll help you, won't we, Susan? Why did I say 300 a year? Five, I'm reckoning now, to get married on.
We were thinking... I was thinking... Perhaps if we could find somewhere near the business, so I'm accessible to St. Paul's or Cannon Street or...
George, that's a good idea.
How do you mean?
The girl's got a head on her shoulders. After all, only a matter of time before Tono Bungay and his bigger premises somewhere else, but...
Marion? Ealing.
What?
Ealing's where I'd like.
away from all the smoke and bustle. Nicer, quieter sort of people. George?
Well, well. So, tell me, Marion, you'll be having a big old splash for the wedding, I suppose. Carriages and top hats and all the men in them funny waistcoats. What stops them from talking proper because it gives them indigestion?
No, Susan!
If we can afford it.
You can. I'll see to that.
I was rather thinking...
George?
Well, couldn't we settle for a registry office? I mean, do we really want all that kind of circus with fripperies and superstitions?
I shouldn't feel married else.
Well, well...
I can't marry at a registry office.
Why ever not?
Well, it's horrid. I can't. I won't, so there.
Do you really mind so much, George?
After all, chacun son goût, eh, Marion? Horses for courses?
That wasn't no horse. Nor the first course, neither, was quality beef.
Well, who can tell when it's Aunt Susan's a la carte, eh?
What, me, Teddy? Put the old cart before the horse. I'm sorry, Marion. Uncle Teddy and I was only trying to...
I'm afraid I'm not clever enough to understand that sort of conversation.
Marion, it's not a question of clever, it's...
Well, if we can't seem to agree on anything, I don't see why we should go on talking, do you?
Mm. Put in, anyone.
Ah! You look tired, George.
Up half the night, Uncle, that's why. Working on this drawing for the new labelling process.
You looked at the map lately. We're going into Wales.
We are. Yeah. And, well, capital costs, overheads and expenditures for the next audit, that's all been done.
Your skill, George. Your strength.
Oh, and by the by, the wedding, not long now, I'm thinking. Have you and Marion settled that little difference of opinion over the arrangements?
You could say that. No carriages, no thousands of guests, no church bells banging away. In fact, no church altogether.
Is that so?
Absolutely. I put my foot down.
George, here's to you and Marion. She's looking lovely. Yes, a lovely looking girl.
Anything wrong, Aunt Susan?
Wrong? Of course not. Just me old weepies coming on.
George, here's Smithy.
Oh, yes. Now, how are you, Smithy? Enjoying yourself?
I'm sure my brother and his wife had more bridesmaids than this.
You don't say.
But then you seem a little, shall we say, underrepresented in general.
Oh, whatever can you mean?
Just your aunt and uncle. But then, we know about you, George. You clever chaps, you're so brainy, you've probably stored them away in a bottle. Ready to wheel them out when stocks run low. Like Tono Bungay. Yes, like Tono Bungay.
Well, here's wishing you well, George.
Thank you, sir.
See there, across the way, there was a funeral there yesterday.
Oh.
Quite a smart affair it were, with a glass hearse and all.
You don't say.
Now, an hearse like that, the sun shining through it, that'd be the answer to all my problems.
Sir?
Glass hearse like that, and me tomatoes would grow like anything.
All the very, very best, George. Have a very, very nice time.
God bless you both.
Have a wonderful holiday now.
We shall.
But you'll keep your mind on that design we mentioned, won't you, George?
Sir?
To make me tomatoes grow.
Hold on. Lend you the honeymoon.
Oh, well, thank goodness that's all over.
Mutney?
Next stop, Hastings, a new life, new horizons.
Oh, you look so lovely.
Why, thank you, darling, but you were the lovely one, my little Ming.
And you're not cross.
Cross? Why?
Well, having it all proper.
Oh, my dear Ming. Here, let me give you a kiss.
No, just a little one.
Ming.
Well, I think all that champagne of your uncle's...
You only had a couple of glasses.
Yeah, well, I think it's given me a headache. Promise me something, Mutney.
Darling, you have only to name it. The sun, the moon.
Promise me you'll buy a silk hat and a black coat so you'll always look nice for Sunday. When we go to church with Smithy.
So, tell me what you think of this new poster Janie's come up with for Scotland.
Scotland?
Well, of course, being away, you ain't had a chance to look at the map. England, Wales, booming, George.
So now...
Tono, Bungay, Thistlebrand. And here's our old fog poster.
Right, but...
Well, you see that piece, Hooper? Well, the odd stag here, the occasional eagle over there, and a splash of purple heather, and Bob's your uncle. We got ourselves an authentic Highland mist. What do you say?
And a fella in tweeds and a bowler smoking a briar?
Simple.
Uncle?
We give him a kilt.
You don't mean they're in full view of everyone?
I do.
But what did the other girls say?
They was too busy gawping to say anything.
Oh, no. Oh, so there you are. Been looked after, Smithy. More tea?
I was just saying to Marion, George, that... That mirror on the mantel, why, it needs covering.
Whatever for?
Well, don't all the best people cover their mirrors?
Oh, pay no attention, Smithy. Georgie likes such queer things.
Like a good solid armchair to read in, you mean?
My brother and his wife, they've covered every mirror. Every light fixture.
You don't say. Oh, goodness, what's that thing?
George.
That's my little housewarming present to you both.
Smithy's so kind.
Well, you can't have a house without a rubber plant in the window, can you?
But I can't get to my books anymore.
All the best modern people do. And I'm nothing if not modern, you know.
It's lovely, absolutely lovely. Isn't it, George?
My God, Uncle. Hmm? Those people in the waiting room, are they all trying to sell us an idea?
Good morning, George. So, what's that you say?
I said those people out in the waiting
Listen,
room.
Listen, been thinking. What do you say to Tono Bungay chocolates?
Well, rather that than the last one.
Eh?
Tono Bungay for seasickness, was it?
Oh, just flying a kite. That's all no good hiding our light under a bushel. Now, but this, no, it's the real thing. I can see it now. Climbers hanging from the cliffs. Cyclist champions. Mounted messengers on the Aix to Ghent ride. Soldiers lying in action under a hot sun. And here's the snap. You can go for 24 hours on Tono Bungay chocolate.
I notice you don't say whether you can return on the same commodity.
How do you mean?
Well, I can see it now. Aromatic. Mm-hmm. Attractive.
Oh, good, good.
Likely to become a bad habit and train people in the use of stronger tonics. Insidiously dangerous to people with defective kidneys.
Ah, George. Oh. By the way, splendid dinner last night at the Guildhall. Did your Aunt Susan and me proud they did. And I met a most interesting young fella into soap.
Soap?
That's right, except he wishes he weren't. Family business, don't you know? His pa and his uncle popped their clogs on practically the same day, and there's our young Jiminy Watsit having to carry on the business to Searle while hating every bloomin' moment of it. George? Well, I'll be frank, almost gave me the business there and then on a plate he did, if I just promised to step in and take it over. Says he wants to wash his hands of it all. I say, no, that's rather good. You get into the soap, him wanting to wash his hands.
Hmm? You don't remember his name, of course.
Oh, wow, 11,000 virgins, oriental gums, I'll be snookered if I do. Well, I'm sure I wrote it down somewhere, sometime.
On your cuff, perhaps? Sometime during the brandy and cigars?
Oh, my cuff, of course, that's it. I'll just go and... Oh, crikey.
Don't tell me. Clary's been and gone with the laundry already.
Found it. Oh, what was the name of that soap? If I could just remember that. Only one thing for it.
Uncle?
Get Perkins up here right away. Give him a bob or two.
Yes?
Then tell him to pop down Fortnum and Mason's double quick. Tell him I want to see half a pound of every brand of soap that's ever been put on the market.
It wasn't Moggs by any chance.
That's a fella! Oh, I knew I could rely on you, George. Moggs Domestic Soaps. Another very attractive addition to the Ponderevo portfolio, wouldn't you say?
Just as long as it sells.
Oh, it will sell, my boy. You can be sure of that. No, I can see it now. Moggs Primrose Soap, as used by Moggs the First, Moggs the Second, Moggs the Third. And why? I shouldn't wonder, as it was used by the Black Prince himself to clean himself up a bit. Black Prince, who needed...
Did you think they used soap in those days, did you?
Oh, well, that's a good point there. I'll tell you what. What say we get one of them eminent historians to run us up a little biog? None of your drum and trumpet history, no fear. What we want to know is, what did they put in their hot baths after a round of jousting, eh? And in the Middle Ages, did they do anything for housemaid's knee? Yes, tell us that, I say. The home, George.
I'm sorry.
We got to bring the home up to date. That's my idea. We got to straighten it up, organise it, make a civilised domestic machine out of it. Hey, you know what? We ought to bring in some of them new art chaps to design for us too. Now, what do you say? Beautiful jam pots, as would do Frederick Morris proud, instead of all these silly, ugly things we got round us. Patent carpet sweepers by those Greenwood chaps. Bedpans you'd wish to polish up and hang on your walls. Oh, housemaid's boxes, it'd be a positive pleasure to fall over. Yeah? You see the notion, George? You get the picture?
Oh, George, you know I don't like you to do that.
And why ever not? We're well and truly married, aren't we? I've been for months.
Yes, but, I mean, there's a time and a place for everything.
Then let's go there now, upstairs.
What, 7 o'clock in the evening? Before we've even had supper? What? That's horrid.
Oh, very well. And another thing.
Yes?
Oh, never mind. It's not for me to say, but... do you have to wear curl papers in your hair quite so often?
Well, it's only when I'm about the house.
Yes, but...
Well, after all, there's no one likely to see, is there?
You mean no one but myself?
That's right. Oh, by the way, I've asked Smithy over for the weekend.
Again?
She hasn't been for weeks.
2 weeks, actually.
George? Is there something wrong?
No. Nothing wrong.
You're looking a bit tired, George. You work too hard. Marion bonny as ever, is she?
Yes, though...
George?
Well, all marriages...
Oh, there you are. Tell me, George, what do you think of Napoleon?
Oh, Tono Bungay Napoleon Brandy, perhaps.
No, this new book of your aunt's on Napoleon Bonaparte...
I've wondered where that had got to.
You don't sometimes figure, as there's a certain resemblance, when I stand in profile against the light, so my left profile, of course.
Did old Boney look like he'd swallowed a cannonball too, Teddy?
Now, Susan... Well, never mind. Cigar, George?
Why not?
I'll be off to finish our packing,
now,
then.
We pay people good money for that.
I haven't broke that new china I bought, no fear. Good to see you, George.
Here for anything special, old chap?
Well, not really. Just Wales, Scotland. And now we're about to offer Tono Bungay to the public, the flotation and all.
We're afloat.
I thought, with your permission, I'd do a quick run round the country, just pop in and check everything's shipshape.
Oh, good idea. Nothing like seeing the chaps behind the counters, I find, pumping it all into the great stomach of the people. Besides, do you good.
Uncle?
Get you out of the house for a bit.
Quite.
You want to take the accounts with you, of course, be au fait on the paperwork.
Gosh, I never thought of that.
I'll tell you what, why not ask one of the girls to help you? That Effie, for instance.
Do you have to? First Cardiff, then Edinburgh. Don't you employ travellers for that sort of thing?
It's not the same.
Anyone would think you didn't like staying at home. Did you never think I might get lonely?
Oh, good grief, when your friend Smith is round here practically every day.
You've never liked her, have you?
Did I say that?
Well, if you're going to carry on like this, leaving me so dull, I shall go ahead and do it. I shall get that lovely little terrier we saw in the shop. I've already chosen its name.
Which is?
Miggles.
So now there's the three of us. Mutney, Ming and...
Miggles, yes. Oh, won't that be lovely?
There you are, Mr. P. All tight cap.
That's really very good of you, Effie.
Oh, had to be done, didn't it? Can't have you going up north empty-handed. Well, you'll be off then.
Yes, although, what about yourself?
Sir?
Well, it's Friday night and I've kept you slaving away long past your time to go home.
Oh, well, me? I'm staying up west for the weekend with a girlfriend.
Well, then may I take you to dinner?
Oh, what about your train?
Well, they run trains in the morning, don't they?
Oh, you're quite right.
George!
Oh, Susan!
Over here! You found us then.
Aunt, I grew up near here before I ever knew you. If I stand here on the terrace, and if you look due south...
And Marion?
Uncle Teddy, is he here?
Oh, he's here, all right. He's over there talking to Mrs. Mumble. At least I think she's called Mumble. They're all called Mumble, as far as I can gather. Tell you what, grab yourself a cucumber sandwich and there's tea there beside you. Lashings of it. Hey, up, here's trouble.
Why, Mrs. Ponderevo.
Hello, Vicar. Meet my nephew, George.
Oh, delighted, I'm sure. Mrs. Ponderevo, I was just now saying how splendid a gathering it is to think that fine old Lady Grove is finally inhabited again. One so misses the house influence, I find. You see, down here in Kent, well, life can grow just a little dull. The youngsters drift away to London. I often think music's one answer. But alas, our penniless little church down the road. Now, if only some kind benefactor could find it in himself to donate a new organ.
I say, Vicar, I spy a whole bevy of people with empty cups over there. Would you mind very much to old Trot about with a tea urn?
Oh, only too delighted. Trot. Excellent expression.
So what do you think of this new house of ours?
It's splendid. What's happening over there, beyond the pond?
Oh, blow me if your uncle hasn't already had the drains up. And yes, most of the lawn's with them. You know, I sometimes think what pleases him most is to stand there in the mud and the muck, up to his old ankles in it, dispensing whiskey to the workmen like he was cock of the yard. Lord Muck indeed. As for them colours he's chosen for the paintwork inside, he's only gone and given each bedroom the name of some old hero of his. No prizes either for guessing what is called his old snuggery.
Napoleon?
Oh. Got it in one. What a splotcher. If it weren't for the maids, I'd sneak up there myself. I'd paint old Pondo on the door.
George! There you are at last.
Hello, Uncle.
What say we sneak away from Napoleon and have us a chin wag, eh?
But I'll tell you one thing, George. Mm-hmm. Them herbaceous borders over there.
Aunt?
I think I've found me a vocation.
This way. Come in. Have a whiskey.
No. Oh, wise man. Wise man. Listen, I've been thinking. Tyno Bungay and Mogg Soap Limited, and after that, well, as you know, Skinnerton's Polishers, Runcorn's Mincers and Coffee Mills, all our domestic utilities, or do oot, as I believe they're already calling it down in the city. It's just, well, I've been thinking, and... when I get to thinking, you're always the one I turn to first.
Uncle?
Just, I'm asking myself, this what we've built up, is it enough, George?
Enough? Uncle, Tono Bungay's paying 12 nowadays.
Oh, 13, 13.
Household services, 10. Do Oot, 11. Moggs Domestic, 7.
8, I think you're fine, George.
Then, on top of that, Roburn's antiseptics, Hodgson's soaks and bath crystals. You bought them up, all of them.
Well, grasp the cosmic oyster while it gapes.
What more could you possibly want?
I want culture, George.
I'm sorry?
You heard. Culture. Damn it. We aren't au fait.
Eh?
Socially, we're not au fait. I'll come to the point. It isn't any particular thing, but the other night, your Aunt Susan and I, we was at this etiquette banquet. I ate too much of that fishy stuff at first, you know, like salt frog spawn. And well, to tell you the truth, I was a bit confused by the olives. And, oh, well, be damned if I knew which wine was supposed to be which. Had to ask each time. I mean, well, for one thing, puts your talk all wrong, don't it? And it's not good for business. We can't have gentry hereabouts calling us pouvenus.
So what exactly did you have in mind?
First thing, it's to learn the whole blessed game, right? Beat 'em at it. Like, which wines? Would that be Smoor, sir, or Burgundy? We got to get us more style. Let's steal, say, lum. And how long do you think I need? To beat 'em at it, to learn the whole bag of tricks and get culture. Oh, 6 months?
Ah, Effie. Is that one of the new typewriters?
It is, Mr. P.
I want you to come away with me.
Again? Well, shouldn't
you? Listen, we can't talk here. Where do you go at 5?
Along the embankment to Charing Cross. None of the others go that way.
About 5:30, then?
Yes, 5:30.
These invoices came, miss.
Oh, yes, Bert.
Well, I'm glad they're working properly, Effie. Just let us know if they have any teething problems.
Right you are, sir.
There, there. Marion?
You've come home.
Well, did you think I wouldn't?
Where have you been this time?
East Coast. There's been quite a surge on the sales front down there. In fact, it seems we no sooner bring in a new supply than they're off the shelves and...
I know.
Hmm? By Jove. I believe you do.
And then you come home to me. I didn't dream. How could you do such a thing?
Who knows about this? How do you know about this?
Smithy's brother and his wife. They saw you and... They were at Cromer. The same hotel.
Confound Cromer. Yes.
How could you bring yourself...
I should like to wring Smithy's brother's neck.
I'd always thought that anyhow. You couldn't deceive me. Oh, I suppose all men are horrid when it comes to this kind of thing.
I didn't mean you to know. It's rough on you, Arthur, but I have had the devil of a time. You've never cared for me.
I have cared for you. To think of you and her. Who is she? Where is she now? I don't believe I can ever touch you again.
Did you ever want to?
What do you mean?
Have you ever once, in all the time we've known each other, wanted to be with me physically? Wanted to make love with me? Wanted to go to bed with me? No. To you it was always horrid.
Well, I suppose to her, this woman is not. To her, it's perfectly natural to do these things with another woman's husband and...
Admit it. If it's not all smiggers behind your hand with Smithy...
I'd just like you to be nice.
The mere thought of it, of making love. It's revolting to you.
And what if it is? Is it my fault if I'm made the way I am?
No. It's not your fault.
Oh, you must hate me.
Marion.
I made you wait, and now, I suppose, you've had your revenge. Oh, thank heaven we never had children.
Did we ever discuss it? Did I ever get the chance to talk about it? So, I'll go upstairs, I suppose. I'll go upstairs and put my things in the spare room.
Mother is coming to have tea with us today. Try to behave, won't you?
Haven't I always? Till now.
Do you love her, this woman?
I'm not sure I know what love is anymore.
But you want her. This minute now, when we're talking about her.
Yes. Yes, I want her right enough.
And you refuse to give her up?
I won't do that. I can't do that.
Well, then, if we can't live together, we ought to be free.
I don't know anything of divorce, if that's what you mean. I don't know how it's done. I shall have to ask somebody. Or look it up. Perhaps, after all, it is the thing to do. We may as well face it.
And all this life together, you've hated it?
Not all this life together.
And this, is this the only way?
Oh, Marion.
Oh, tell me, promise me. This can't be the only way. So, here we...
Yes. I believe we'll do.
George. Is it really too late?
Oh, Marion, please.
I've been such a fool. All my life is a wreck. And now... Now I shall be alone. Mutney. Mutney, don't leave me. I didn't understand.
You think I did?
No, don't leave me. Don't leave me. Hey.
We'll stay in touch. Now about the legal thing. Goodbye, Marriott.
Oh, George.
Now?
Oh, I don't know, Aunt. I really don't. Oh, Marion will be all right financially. She'll never have to work again, I've seen to that. And left her the house in Ealing. Why, I dare say her tiresome friend Smithy has already moved in with her.
But you? What about yourself?
Well, I'll buy a place near her work. And I'll continue to see Effie, of course. And she said the other day... If it wasn't love, gosh, it was fun all the same. I tend to agree. Is that terribly irresponsible?
Perhaps you need a bit of fun. Tell you what say we go shopping uptown, buy ourselves a huge cream tea, and spend the evening in an expensive restaurant being very loud and noisy.
Georgie? You all right there? Counting the raindrops?
Hmm. I swear I saw an air balloon. And then a cloud covered it and... Yes. Yes, darling, I'm all right, really.
Hey, Gloomkins! Would you love your wife so well?
You know, Evie, there's so much I don't understand. But life is a thing that hurts. It hurts without logic or reason. I've blundered and I've hurt in my turn. I just didn't understand. Anyhow, there's no need to go hurting you, is there?
Oh, you just try it, George Ponderevo, and see what you get. Here. Come here. Time to cheer you up.
Oh, good to see you back on your feet, George. Long drive down, though.
And a long week.
So, how can I help you?
Look here, Uncle, I'm sick of this.
Hello? What's up?
Things are wrong.
How's that?
My life. It's a mess. An infinite mess.
Oh, listen, George, these last few weeks, you, Marion, well, I mean, I partly understand, perhaps, but it's past history now, ain't it? Besides, there's just as good fish in the sea.
Uncle, it's not that.
Oh, a friend of yours, Effie, is she the problem?
No, not Effie.
Oh, then...
Effie's grand. Effie has been my salvation. Just... Well, one day she'll want to take off. I know that. She's got brains and she's young. She'll want to lead her own life. That's her charm. And, Uncle, I want my own life to lead as well. I feel I've been making Tono Bungay since the day I was born.
Oh, served us well, George. Served us very well.
Of course it has. I'd be a fool to deny that. It's just... I'm sick... I'm sick of all this damned rascality.
Huh? Huh? What rascality?
You know. I'm a different sort of beast from you, Uncle. You float in all this bunkum.
This what?
I feel like a man who's floundering up and down, what? East and west. I can't stand it. I must get my foot on something solid or... I don't know what.
Well, you've left me behind on this one. Now, what can you mean? Tono Bungay's solid?
I mean, I've been thinking it over. All of it. I've made up my mind. I shall go in for work. What? Real work.
Well, what do you call this here that we do?
I've got an idea. It's an old idea I thought of years ago, but it's come back to me. Look, why should I fence about with you? Uncle, I believe the time has come for flying.
Flying?
Aeronautics. Machines heavier than air. It can be done, and I want to do it.
Why, is there money in it?
I don't know, and I don't care, but that's what I'm going to do. I've been talking to this engineer I've met called Cothope, Arnold Cothope. Good man. He's solid. Oh, I'm sorry, Uncle. I don't know how to put it. It's just a question of... confidence. Confidence in what I do. Confidence in who I am.
We've been making confidence ever since I drove the first cork into Tono Bungay. We mint faith, George. That's what we do. And by Jove, we've got to keep minting it.
Coining it, more like.
I'm sorry. Well. No. I'm a man of my word, as you know. Haven't I always said that little, loan of yours back in the Wimblehurst days.
Do you mean my trust fund?
I always promised you I'd pay it back fourfold and with interest. So, you have my blessing for these researches of yours. You can rest assured of that. Money for the labour, the equipment.
Thank you, Uncle.
George... To turn your back on Tono Bungay. Next to these flying machines of yours. They're no comparison.
Uncle, you don't seriously suppose Tono Bungay ever improved the lot of mankind by as much as a hair, do you?
Well, there must be something there, or why else would the great British public be flocking all this time to buy it off the shelf just as soon as we restock them, eh? You answer me that.
But don't you see? You call it fate.
I do.
Well... I call it fiction. One huge, courageous fiction. People down there in the real world, they swelter and toil. Great railways grow. Cities rise to the skies and spread wide and far. Mines are opened. Factories hum. Foundries roar. Ships plough the seas. And what for? So the likes of you and me, we can get rich on their backs.
Steady on, George, steady on. You're sounding like a socialist.
And then go scorching about the countryside in our magnificent motor cars, making ourselves conspicuous and stately in splendid houses, eating and drinking like gods. And what do we give back? Not just you and me, Uncle, so many others of these so-called knights of commerce and, oh, heavens, I don't know, buccaneers of big business. We give them just an illusion. We give the people down there a specious hope of improvement and betterment, which has no more substance, no more solid, lasting reality than a mere bubble, a thin, transparent soap bubble. Full of false promises and empty assurance.
George, you've a hard nature. Always have had. Very hard.
Well, that's it, Arnold. You and I have earned our weekend. But my, don't it look good?
As models go.
Arnold?
After Christmas, sir, do we start to build the machine itself?
Heavens above. Christmas.
Mr. P?
I'd almost forgotten. How time flies.
Let's hope not just time, eh, sir?
Yes, let's hope so, Arnold. Not just time.
In part two of Tono Bungay by H.G. Wells, George was played by Neil Dudgeon, Uncle Teddy by James Lawrenson, Aunt Susan by Diane Bull, and Marion by Jaquetta May. The College Registrar was played by Steve Hodson, Mr. Ramboat by James Taylor, Smithy by Vivian Rochester, Sydney by James Telfer, and Effie by Geraldine Fitzgerald. All other parts were played by the company, and Tono Bungay was dramatised by Nigel Gearing. The director was Claire Grove.